Everyone knows it's not easy to run a marathon, let alone win one, but it might be even harder to cheat. For one thing, runners usually wear timing chips on their shoes that keep track of when they cross the starting line, when they hit various checkpoints, and when they finish. If they miss a single checkpoint, they're disqualified. Then there are the race photographers who sell their pictures later and end up with photographic evidence of who ran and where they were along the course. All of this makes the trickery that Michigan dentist Kip Litton supposedly pulled off so fascinating. Litton's story, or at least what can be pieced together about it, is detailed in a recent New Yorker article by Mark Singer. It describes how Litton is believed to have scammed a complicated system to turn himself into a marathon star, and how a group of people sleuthed their way to the conclusion that he was an average runner with an above-average ability to plot, self-aggrandize, and mislead. Mark Singer is with us to talk about his article, Marathon Man, A Michigan Dentist's Improbable Transformation. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Sasha. How are you?
Mark, your quest to get to the bottom of Kip Litton's winning streak seems to have become a serious mission for you. How did this guy first hit your radar?
I heard about him in early 2011 from an editor at The New Yorker who is a runner, a very, very good runner, and he happened to be following an online discussion group that was talking about Kip Litton because the early evidence that he was cheating surfaced really in the summer of 2010. It didn't become publicly discussed until a bit later. But once the discussion got going and other online commenters were themselves engaged in what was basically a forensic investigation into this guy's race performance, if you're a reporter and you read that sort of thing, we love obsessives, and these people were all obsessed with this guy, Kip Litton.
In fact, it was one of Litton's opponents who first started doing some research on him. This opponent had been a first-place finisher, and he got suspicious when the runner who he was positive had come in second right behind him was instead listed as coming in third. Official race results said Kip Litton had come in second. What did this guy discover once he started poking around?
You're referring to a guy named Kyle Strode, who's one of the most talented masters runners, that's for runners over 40, in Montana. This was the Missoula Marathon in 2010, and Kyle Strode won the masters division in a very excellent time. He finished fourth overall in a field of more than 1,300 runners, and there was a guy who was a regular competitor of his from Montana who finished second, 4 minutes behind him. But when they went to the trophy, the awards ceremony, that guy, that runner, was placed third, and someone named Kip Litton from Clarkston, Michigan, was a second-place runner, and that was because of this thing that you described earlier, these chips. There is a chip on your shoe or attached to your racing bib, and it registers when you cross the finish line. Kip Litton would deliberately start minutes behind the regular runners in a race. This was part of his MO. And the question is, what was he doing between when he crossed that starting line after everyone else had disappeared and when he got to the finish line? And that's the essence of the question about this guy.
And whatever he was doing, people began to think this guy is really not running the times that the results say he's running.
Well, it was a slow recognition in some ways because it required such assiduous research. People were going to these race websites and looking at photographs and measuring time gaps between various runners along the course and checking and seeing where so-and-so did or did not have these checkpoint times. And all of that built up to this very large, broad conviction that this guy was cheating. But a couple of people tried confronting him in writing. Eventually, I was one of them. And he always denied everything.
And this is a guy who didn't seem to be hiding anything. I mean, he was documenting things on a website, so there was a lot of documentation that people could then compare to race results.
He wanted to be a star. He wanted to draw attention to himself while not actually calculating the risk of drawing that attention to himself. He was ostensibly raising money for a very good cause, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And that was part of his plea to people. He had a website, you know, give money to help support my effort to run 50 sub-3-hour marathons, one in each state. That's a very rarely done thing. And he was ostensibly raising, as I say, $250,000. At the end of the day, he raised no money for cystic fibrosis, according to them, and his own contributions between 2004 and the present total $20.
So do you think there was a possible fundraising scam element to this?
I don't really think so. It's possible. But this is a very expensive undertaking, so it couldn't have really been a mercenary motive. It was much more about a person with a certain kind of ego and a need for recognition, because he was flying all over the country to races, staying in hotels, renting cars. Whether he was getting between checkpoints on a bicycle, which is, I believe, what happened in the Boston Marathon, where he hit every checkpoint. This is the remarkable thing that he did in consecutive Boston Marathons in 2009 and 2010. He ran under 3 hours and hit every checkpoint. Anybody who's been to the marathon in Boston knows what the crowds are like. You're not really able to drive around there. So somehow he was doing it, but he was never detected in the act of cheating.
Mark Singer, Litton also did something that has a lot of people incredulous, which is that he made up races and then said he won them. How do you make up a race?
You have, in this case, an unwitting web designer to make a race website for you. In Litton's case, he created a marathon in Wyoming, the fabled West Wyoming Marathon. He created a race director with a different name, an email address for that person. And he created a finishing time, not only for himself, but for 28 other runners who he invented and created online profiles for many of at a database that records racing performances from all over the world, really. So he was a very busy boy conning and not quite as busy running.
That's Mark Singer. He recently wrote in The New Yorker about a Michigan dentist named Kip Litton who allegedly cheated his way to marathon greatness. We'll hear more about Litton's methods when we return. You're listening to Here and Now. We've been talking to Mark Singer about his recent article in The New Yorker that details the alleged cheating spree by a middle-aged Michigan dentist named Kip Litton, who appears to have faked winning marathons. Litton's fabrications may have included bicycling between marathon checkpoints, changing clothes during the race to avoid detection by photographers, and even making up entire races and then listing himself online as the winner. Mark, when this began to unravel, when race directors started questioning and disqualifying him and runners joined online forums to discuss his performances, what did Kip Litton do?
Denied everything. For a while, he continued to run, but that was really just early on. Once people were on to him, he would say he was going to run in certain races, and then he would be a no-show because he knew that he would be followed, and it would be demonstrable that he didn't have the wherewithal to run these fast times. So he basically came up with excuse after excuse after excuse, but always with outrage, resentment that anybody would accuse him of anything.
And as one excuse, you mentioned that he always said, you can't find photos of me because they're hard to find because my shirt had covered my racing bib. So there's always some reason.
There was always reasons. When he was waiting at starting lines, delaying his start, he was wearing clothes that concealed his running number because he wanted to be unobtrusive. It's my belief. It makes sense. He was photographed at the Boston Marathon, because of how many photographers are out there on the course, they photographed him running, not running, but on the course, let's put it that way, at about the 18 or 19 mile mark, and another spot earlier in the race, where he was running without his number showing, and he was wearing clothes that were different in that photograph than the clothes he was wearing at the finish line. He did that several times. There's a lot of photographic evidence of this guy wearing different shirts, shorts, hats, and in a couple of instances, shoes at the start and the finish.
Mark, you finally met with Litton after numerous attempts. Would you describe that meeting?
Well, I've written a lot about liars, con artists. I'm interested in the subject for who knows what my own reasons are. Very often, you just want to get in the room with the guy. The hard part is, of course, getting them in the room. And I pursued Litton for 9 months at least. I started on this story, a year and a half ago, and he told me that he was going to be at the Boston Marathon this year. I went to it. He wasn't there. So I got on a plane at Logan that night, and I flew to Michigan. And when he showed up for work the next day, I was waiting for him. And his dental office, he refused to talk to me. But I just kept writing him emails that week and said, I'm not leaving town. You're going to get a lot of attention in the press. The New Yorker is publishing this story. You're not going to wish this thing away. Maybe that was the reason he talked to me. But then once he did talk to me, he lied. He stonewalled. And eventually, though I was glad to be in the room with the guy, I was so creeped out, I couldn't wait to get out of there. Every time I would raise a fact that was as plain as day, he would come up with an excuse that was from an alternate reality, really.
Many people believe that Litton was cheating, but no one has been totally able to explain how he did it. You know, maybe he bicycled part of the way, maybe he drove, maybe he had an accomplice, maybe he tinkered with the chips. In your mind, is there any possibility that he really is legit, or do you think there's just no way?
Zero possibility. He can run. I acknowledge certain marathon times that I think are legitimate, including one possibly below 3 hours in Richmond, Virginia in 2006, and a couple of times at Boston, actually. But he ran in, you know, closer to 3.5 hours. Totally credible times, no matter what your age. But that wasn't what he was about. And he had himself running sub-3-hour marathons month after month, in some cases week after week. His times in other races show that he wasn't capable of it. He had rates of acceleration where the times on the course would show him running the second half of a race much faster than the first. Some people have that a slight variation. His were completely beyond comprehension. The lack of photographs and the evidence throughout his life, as I did my reporting, that he is simply a pathological liar eliminated any doubt for me.
You know, I thought one of the funniest quotes in your article was by a Montana race director who pointed out the lengths that Litton had to go to pull this off. I mean, he flew all over the country. He rented cars. He had to figure out how many chip mats are placed along the race route. And this race director said to you, think about how hard you have to work to not run a race. So it's kind of true that the cheating involved nearly as much effort as just running the race.
That's true. I don't think that that's unique among con artists, though. The thing that con artists, the really good ones, have that Litton lacked, actually, is discipline. He went to a lot of effort, but he was sloppy along the way, too. For example, I described the race where he invented all those competitors, but he gave them, in many cases, totally banal names that were giveaways.
Joe Smith kind of names?
Yes. And plus, you know, then when you went and looked at those people, that this was the only race they'd ever run. He must have enjoyed the con. He just wasn't necessarily as good at it as he needed to be.
Mark Singer writes for The New Yorker. His article, Marathon Man, appears in a recent edition. Mark, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.